Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fellow disciples of Christ, what a change worshiping in this beautiful chapel compared to Wieniken Hall, where I worship my years here at the seminary. A lot of things have changed, not only here on campus, but in the church and around the world. When I came to the seminary, the Berlin Wall was just going up, and now it has come tumbling down, and the map of Eastern Europe has changed once again. Up to my time at the seminary, ministry was basically the same, and it had been that way for years. But what a change since then! The Word of God does not change. But the way we bring God's word to people, the way we share the great gospel message, the work of the church has changed dramatically, and it seems to be changing faster and faster. My friends, the urgency of developing a ministry to meet the challenge of this change was vividly illustrated to me by something that happened to me as a kid. When my parents took me with them to call on one of my father's parishioners out on the farm. When we were about to leave that evening, the farmer wanted to send a nice fresh chicken home with the pastor's family. Well, my dad wanted me to see this, so he took me by the hand, and we went out to the chicken coop. An old-fashioned chicken coop, fenced in with the chickens running all over. And he looked for a nice, plump chicken to send home with us. And he found that chicken. And just as he was reaching to grab it, it flew out of his grasp with all the other chickens fluttering around to protect the intended victim. And I gave a big cheer for that chicken, of course. Now, where was that chicken? Well, he found one, and he took that chicken over to the chopping block and chopped off its head. Then, to this six-year-old's amazement, that chicken started running around that chicken yard without its head, as though it were saying, "Where's my head? Where's my head?" And my friends, that's the world today, running around like a chicken without its head, looking for its head, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's why the seminary is here. And that's why you're here, to help the world find our head. That's the command Jesus has given you and me in the challenge of the Great Commission. You know it well, Matthew 28. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always to the end of the age. This, my friends, is the challenge for ministry. Now, are we awake to Christ's challenge confronting us today in bringing people into his body, uniting them with our head? Will you and I do everything we can to help our church meet the challenge of Christ's great commission? In our text, Jesus gives us definite instructions in meeting this challenge. Make disciples by baptizing them and teaching his word. Now, Jesus knew it wouldn't be easy. He was sending his disciples out into a world which hated his followers. What a challenge these disciples faced! How could they do it? by proclaiming the sweetest message ears ever heard, the message of God's love in Christ for a sin-cursed world, the message of Christ crucified for the redemption of people everywhere. When kingdoms crumbled in chaos and confusion, with people running around like chickens with their heads cut off, the gospel brought them back to our head. Our Savior's self-sacrificing love was the world's only hope. The preaching and teaching of Jesus' love to a world gone mad presented a tremendous challenge to the early church, and they met it successfully and victoriously. Well, my friends, we have the same challenge. The one stabilizing influence in a topsy-turvy world gone mad is the love of Christ. Our world is in a sorry mess. I don't need to tell you about it. It's an outgrowth of that deep-seated malady, sin. Because sin rules people's hearts, they are given to selfishness and lovelessness, greed and grabbing, dishonesty and lying, immorality and murder. Find a remedy for sin, and you've brought a new order to society. But what is the remedy? The world has tried many things, all the way from legislating good works to education. Nations make treaties, but they end up by being nothing but scrap paper. All plans fail unless people are united to our head with hearts and lives renewed by the love of Jesus. There is no hope for an abiding peace until people and nations kneel at the foot of the cross and embrace Him who died to save us from sin's curse. And right here is the pastor's challenge, especially when we're confronted in the church by those people who think that the church is just here for their own personal benefit. If we are to meet the challenge of bringing people to our head, we must begin right in our homes and congregations, planning more ways to preach and teach the gospel with ever greater zeal. And then we join district and synod in supporting joint mission efforts and in training more church workers like yourselves. We cannot fritter time away by dabbling in all kinds of schemes for social reform. Everything we do in the church must have as its ultimate purpose bringing people to our head. And Christians today must be aroused to the seriousness of our times. We're no longer in a church society like we were when I graduated from the seminary. Once again, we're faced by the same challenge of an unchurched society like the first disciples experience. And now, my friends, are we willing to meet the challenge of ministry necessitated by this change? Are we willing to grasp the opportunities God is handing to us with modern technology? It's a big order, true. And by ourselves, we would certainly fail. But Christ doesn't leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit, empowering us to take up the challenge of bringing people to our head. The first disciples had tremendous doubts. As I read in the verses preceding our text, when they saw him, they worshiped him, even though some of them doubted. Doubted? How could they? Especially after having been with him for 3 years in ministry and being eyewitnesses of his crucifixion and resurrection. But their doubts quickly vanished. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowered them to move forward with the challenge of Christ's great commission. Well, my friends, we have the same glorious promise of Christ's presence, with the Holy Spirit empowering us today to do His work. He doesn't tell us to ask if we will be successful. He reserves that as His own business. He tells us to go out into the world using every available means to bring people to our head. And when Jesus gives us His promise of His abiding presence, He assures us of success. What an encouragement! We're not alone. Jesus gives us His power. My friends, as you move forward in your studies, preparing to meet Christ's challenge, be up and doing. Spare no efforts in holding high the light of the gospel so that this strife-torn world may be brought back to our head as together we bask in the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, living for Him until He grants us that full victory He won for us on the cross. Amen. And may this peace we have in Christ keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, serving Him, bringing people to our head unto life everlasting. Amen.